mic there, David. All right, we up and going? All right, good to have everyone here today. Welcome to Fellowship Baptist Church. Let's take our hymnals as we begin and turn to number 42. Number 42, we're singing and worshiping Christ as our King this morning. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Let's stand together, number 42, as we sing.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe, on this terrestrial ball, him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. All that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Amen. Good singing this morning. Let's open in prayer. Lord, we're so thankful that we can come to you and know that you deserve our praise. We pray that you would help us to truly worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. Would you speak to us through your word? Would you encourage us through the singing and help us to learn and to grow in you today? We desire that you would receive all the honor and glory for everything that's done and said here today in the service as well as in the service this evening. We thank you for how you've already taught us in our Sunday school time. And we pray that you'd help us to take the things that we learned this morning and throughout the day today and apply it to our lives this week. We'll give you the praise and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your hymnals again and turn to number 47. Number 47, just really across the page there. All glory to Jesus, begotten of God. And really, we can see the different roles and the different functions that Jesus Christ has, different ministries that Jesus Christ has in our lives. The glory to Jesus, begotten of God, the great I am, creator, sustainer, but wonder of all, the Lamb of Calvary. And isn't it a wonderful privilege that the one who we worship as the King is also our Savior? Number 47, you can remain seated as we sing.
All glory to Jesus, begotten of God, the great I am is He. Creator, sustainer, but wonder of all, the Lamb of Calvary. To think that the guardian of planets in space, the shepherd of the stars, is tenderly leading the church of his love by hands with crimson stars. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, he reigns in glory now. Someday he is coming, earth's kingdoms to claim, and every knee shall bow, and every knee shall bow.
Amen. How many of you, that's the first time you've ever sung that song? It's a good song. You should take it, learn it some more, and maybe we'll sing it again here in a little bit. If you have your bulletins, you can take those out at this time. Glad each and every one of you is here. In just a moment, we'll have the opportunity for the ushers to get those of you who are here for the first time. We'd like to get you a packet of information about our church ministry. It has a brochure about our church, but also a visitor's card. We'd appreciate if you would take a moment and fill out that visitor's card and lets us know what brought you here, but also how we can continue to minister to you in the days to come. So in just a moment, we'll do that when we stand for our welcome hymn. In just a couple minutes here, but want to cover a few things. We're glad to be back and partially back. We still have folks home sick, so I'm not going to be shaking hands or giving hugs or anything like that today, but we are glad to be back with you all, and the Lord blessed our trip, and then is teaching us patience and trusting Him so with all the sickness that's going around. So continue to be praying for those that are sick, if not just in our family, but also in our church family as a whole, and that the Lord would raise folks up there. Then you can see our schedule for this week. There will be no choir practice this evening. We'll give you a heads up tonight about the next choir practice. But our service tonight is at 6 o'clock, and we're looking forward to a great time of fellowship and worship together. And then tomorrow night is our basketball ministry at 7. Tuesday is our King's Ambassadors at 10:30. Wednesday is our 252 clubs at 6:30, and our Bible study and prayer meeting at 7. I trust you were encouraged with the Chalk Talk this last Wednesday night. I know that was a blessing, and the challenge at the beginning of it was a blessing as well. And just trusting the Lord and being like Peter, being willing to step out of the boat, but also recognizing that Jesus Christ is the only one that can truly sustain and deliver us. So I trust that was a blessing for you there as well. Then this Friday, we have our ladies Bible study at 2 o'clock. Looking ahead, we have Constitution Update Committee on the 30th, 2 weeks from today, or through 2 weeks from yesterday. The 31st is a special Easter service in the morning. And then the 14th through the 19th, spring revival meetings. That's in April. Looking at our special announcements, the All Church Singspiration, if you were keeping track of the calendar, that was supposed to be today. That's not happening. So we'll let you know here in the next couple of weeks about when that's going to be. We want to still have that, and so you can be aware of that. We'll be getting details available to you in the next couple of weeks. If you'd like to help provide a meal for Brother Esianko, our intern, please touch base with him directly. And I have appreciated his work. I trust you have as well. He came and was wanting just to help out with whatever. And we were talking about it last night. And he's kind of helped run the church over the past few weeks. He's done a lot more than he expected to do. But he has been a special blessing. Next Sunday, we're going to be taking a special love offering for him. The church has been meeting his expenses, the needs there, while he's been here. And so, but we want to give him a special love offering just to say we appreciate what he's done. And he's going to be headed back up to Canada, I believe, on the 25th, so next Monday. But we want to just say a special thank you to him for his willingness to just jump in and work and to give of his time over the last number of weeks here. So be praying about what the Lord would have you to give there. It's also good to have the Swansons back and here. So we're going to be super confusing because last night, Devin and Claire Swanson got here with their moving van from Wisconsin. And so Devin is Brother Ryan Swanson's brother. The way you tell the difference, because they look exactly alike, except for the beard. They don't look too much alike. But get to know Devin and Claire. They've moved down here just to be part of our church and part of our church ministry. They're going to be staying in the parsonage for a little bit here as they look for a house that they can buy and as they get settled in. So we are going to need some help after the evening service unloading the truck. It's not a massively huge truck, But it is a truck and they packed it really tight. So there's going to be a bunch that needs to be to come out of there. So if you're able to help out for a few minutes after the service, if we have a bunch of people that help, maybe we can get it done very quickly. So it's going to be after the evening service tonight, just over at the parsonage. I would encourage you, if you're able to help, just walk over to the parsonage, assuming it's not raining. But that way we're not crowding the parsonage driveway and everything. But I'm sure they would appreciate the help with that. All right, our ministry information, our ministry fellowships under the leadership of the Johnsons this week. And then Bible memory tonight will be Luke 5, verse 7. And as we are working through our theme for this year, you can see birthdays and anniversaries are listed there. And so a number of birthdays this week. And we have a spiritual birthday today. Is that correct? Where'd you go? How many years ago was that? 69 years ago today, Len received Christ as his Savior. So encouraging, tell him happy spiritual birthday. And then later on this week, tell him happy physical birthday because he's got another birthday this week. And so you just put it all together and get it all done at one time. So, but we're encouraged with how the Lord's working there. All right. Again, this is we'll take this opportunity to sing a welcome song. If this is your first time with us, as everyone else stands, you remain seated. The ushers would like to get you that packet of information. And so we'll sing the first verse here of a hymn and then take the opportunity to greet one another with a smile and a handshake this morning. Let's turn to number 40. Well, I think I have it wrong here. Just a moment. No, number 46. Sorry. Number 46. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. We'll sing the first two verses and take the opportunity to shake hands and greet one another. Number 46. If this is not your first time here, you stand up and we'll sing number 46. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.
For a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His praise. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad, the honors of thy name.
Take a moment, greet those around you this morning. Oh, I'm not shaking hands this morning because I don't want to actually get you. All right, as you make your way back to your seats, number 46, we'll sing the last four verses here. Verse number 3, Jesus, the name that charms our fears.
Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. Glory to God, and praise and love be ever, ever give. By saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven.
We have the opportunity to give our tithes and offerings today. Let's trust the Lord in our giving, knowing that He can provide much better than we ever could. And we can trust Him in our living. And if we learn to trust Him in our living, we can trust Him in everything that we give to Him. So let's trust Him as we dedicate this time of giving to Him this morning. Lord, we ask that You would take what's given, use it for Your work, and accomplish Your work for Your honor and glory. Lord, we know that this is not ours anyways. We're simply stewards of what You've given to us. So I pray that You'd help us to be faithful stewards, giving cheerfully this morning. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Take our hymnals one more time and turn to number 55. Number 55, as we're continuing to sing, praising Christ our Savior and our King. Come, Christians, join to sing. Alleluia. Amen. Let's stand together, number 55.
Christians join to sing, Alleluia, Amen. Loud praise to Christ our King, Alleluia, amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise is His gracious choice. Alleluia, amen. Come, lift your hearts on high. Alleluia, amen. Let praises fill the sky. Alleluia, amen. He is our guide and friend. To us He'll condescend. His love shall never end. Alleluia, amen. Praise yet our Christ again. Alleluia, amen. Life shall not end the strain. Alleluia, amen. On heaven's blissful shore, His goodness will adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia, amen.
Amen. Good singing this morning. You may be seated. This time we're going to dismiss all those second grade on down for children's church. Second grade on down. You can be dismissed for children's church at this time. The church we attended a couple weeks ago on Sunday morning, they didn't have children's church. And my one that just ran out, Corey, she got to the service and was getting ready for the service, all fine and everything. And we said, so you know you're going to be sitting in the service with us this morning. And it blew her mind and then eventually blew her emotions that I have never, ever missed children's church. So she was very excited to come to church this morning and be here for children's church this morning. So those of you who work in children's church, and I know that those who just went down, you do have an impact on our young people. So never forget that. If you'd like to be part of helping with children's church, talk to Jim and Leanne Solt. I'm sure they would love to get as much help as they possibly can. And so it's a rotation basis. You have the opportunity to either be a helper or a teacher. You have the opportunity to make an impact on our young people. And that age, second grade on down, is one of the most formidable times of a person's life. And so you have the opportunity with that. All right. Let me tell you a quick story I told to our King's Ambassadors. Pardon me if my thoughts are not completely 100% coherent this morning. We're going to trust the Lord that to get them from my mouth to your heart and make sense of them this morning, okay? But tell you a quick story that I told the prayer meeting this morning. Have you ever been looking for something or someone, passed by it a dozen times, and it was there the whole time and you just never saw it? When I was a little kid, we played hide and seek as a family in the dark. And my family, there were 9 of us. So if you played hide and seek in the house, in the dark, you had to be super creative about where you were going to hide because everybody knew all the hiding places and you didn't want to be the first one hidden. So I remember one time finding everyone and we were trying to look for mom. Couldn't find her. We're all in the kitchen talking about how we can't find mom, and all of a sudden we hear this giggling teapot laugh coming, and we knew it was mom, and we looked up and she was hiding on top of the refrigerator. And those of you who know my mom know that's something she would do. The one, though, that got us all was the fact when we were looking, we had found everyone. I don't think I was it that time, but I got found. I was not a very good hider. I got found pretty quickly. And so the idea was, once you got found, you got to help seek. That's the way we played. And it would make the rounds go a little bit faster. But we found everybody eventually except for Dad. We couldn't find them. And the rules were you couldn't go outside. So we knew he was somewhere in the house. And we're going up and down the hallway looking for him. We can't find him. Going through all the bedrooms, going through the basement, looking on top of the refrigerator, trying to find everything that we could find him. And eventually there's eight of us looking for one person. We cannot find him. So eventually we start hearing a little bit of noise. You know, when you're a parent and you're hiding and you can't, you know, you're telling your kids to find you, eventually you make a little bit of noise so that you kind of direct them. Well, my dad eventually decided to do that 40 minutes after he had hidden. He was in the hall closet on the top shelf of the linen closet behind blankets. You know how many times we had opened that door? All of us had opened the door. All of us had looked for him. The only reason why he finally started making noise is because a closed, tiny, cramped closet behind blankets starts to get really warm. And he had crunched himself up in there, and it took us forever. But it got me thinking as I was dwelling on our topic for this morning, how many times do we walk right by either God himself or the things that God is wanting us to learn? And we say that we're looking for him, but we totally miss it. My mind goes back, in my mind's eye, at least in my imagination, to the gold rushes of the 1800s. And just because one person, the word was out there, gold is scattered across the landscape like pebbles, and you can just go find it. It's just there. So thousands upon thousands upon thousands of men left their families, left their jobs, sold everything that they had to go out and try to find their fortune. We hear about some that did, and we hear about the many, many failures of those who didn't actually find it. My mind goes to unrealized possibilities. How many of you do that? Your mind thinks through unrealized possibilities. So you watch a football game or you hear about a football game and you think, what if they had done it this way? Would it have been different? Do any of you do that, or am I just weird that way? Okay, I know I'm weird, but I'm weird. I'm wondering if I'm weird in that specific category, okay? I think of all those things, and it makes me think, how many of those prospectors, if they would have stuck it out a little bit longer, a day longer, 2 days longer, a week longer, if they would have stuck it out, would they have hit the mother lode? You just wonder. And we can't say that that's for sure, you know? But you just have to wonder how many of them quit before they, if they would have just hung on just a little bit longer, they would have found it. It's the ones who hung on that little bit longer that did eventually find these incredible mines of gold and other precious metals and everything. But folks, how often is God waiting for us to seek him? To seek him. You know, God promises that if we seek him, we'll find him. So Christian, this morning, if you're not finding Jesus, there's something wrong with the way that you are seeking. It's not with Jesus himself. There's something wrong with what you're doing. There's something wrong with what I'm doing when we're seeking Jesus and not finding him. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Take your Bibles and turn to Hosea chapter 10. Excuse me. Hosea chapter 10. Hosea is a book about seeking. It's about one man seeking a woman. It's about a nation claiming to seek God, but seeking the wrong things in the wrong ways. And it's about God trying to help us as he challenges the children of Israel here, his people, and we as his people, you and I as individual Christians, are challenged in this same way. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Hosea chapter 10 in verse 12. By the way, I still hear pages turning. If you struggle finding Hosea, let me encourage you. Go memorize the books of the Bible. Right? Yes, okay, it would not be a bad thing to do that, okay? You might be a new Christian. Memorize the books of the Bible. It would be one of the best tools that you can have as a young Christian. If you're an experienced Christian and you're struggling to find Hosea, you should go memorize the books of the Bible, okay? So you can never go wrong with that. Hosea chapter 10, read with me if you would in verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. It is time to seek the Lord. The picture that we see here is a picture of seeking after something, okay? This passage, if you were to go to the next verse, it says, "Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity." It's a very much a picture of a farmer going about expecting a crop. Now, you can do all the right things and still not get a crop, right? What's required if you do all the right things and in order for you to get a crop? What do you have to have? Rain. You have to have rain. And the picture here is that God has withheld the rain. He promised in Deuteronomy that he would withhold rain physically from his people when they chose to disobey him. But the reality is Hosea is trying to help God's people understand God is withholding his blessing and rain, the rain of righteousness, the rain of his goodness, the reign of his goals for your life, the reign of his of the way that he wants to work in your life. He's withholding that for a reason. And so what ends up happening is we sow and we reap, but we're not sowing and we're not reaping what God expects us to sow and reap. He challenges them here, and it's interesting because he almost puts it a little bit out of order of what we would expect. What is the first thing you do when you're establishing a garden or if you're getting ready to plant a field? What is the first thing you have to do? You have to break up, what is it called? The fallow ground. Fallow ground is not ground that is used to being tilled. Fallow ground is ground that has sat for a long time. Maybe it's never been tilled to start with, or maybe it has sat because of drought. But if you look at a field that is completely just hardened, it has had water at one point, but now it hasn't had water for a very, very long time. And so it is hardened on the top, and if you were to try to dig into it, you wouldn't be finding any moisture. No way for anything to really grow in it. And he challenges God's people here, and you and I are challenged the same way. The Bible says it's time to break up that fallow ground. Now, what does that mean? Is it possible for you, for me, to go through our lives, to go through our week, to go through today, and to be hardened? What are some things that harden us? The Bible tells us some things. The deceitfulness of sin hardens our hearts. Now, what does that mean? Is it you hiding things from trying to hide things from God, trying to hide things from those people around you? Is that the deceitfulness of sin? Part of it. But another aspect of the deceitfulness of sin is the way that Satan works. When I start to allow Satan to have an opportunity to talk to me, instead of resisting him, instead of saying, no, you're not allowed to come into my life to tell me those lies, when I start to listen to the lies, whether or not I start to believe them or not, but when I give Satan the opportunity to talk to me, I start to find that my heart becomes hardened because he's going to be deceitful. Okay? Our hearts can be hardened with the deceitfulness of sin. Our hearts can be hardened by a lack of moisture, spiritually speaking, right? When I choose to ignore God for a while, my heart becomes hardened. When I choose to stop letting God water my life through His Word, the washing of the water by the Word, that cleansing work that happens, that refreshing work that happens through the Word of God, when I stop allowing that to happen, my heart becomes hardened. So let me challenge you with something. How many days this week did you read the Word of God? How many days this week did you spend significant time in prayer? In Sunday school this morning, we challenged the Sunday school class that was in here. We were talking about the roles that God has given to us, the biblical roles in our lives, and the reality that you will spend time on the roles that are important to you. And so, for instance, for someone who likes to play basketball, if you don't take time every once in a while to practice basketball, what ends up happening? You get what? Okay, you have to change sports. No, if you don't spend the time on it, you get rusty, right? You have to spend the time if you want to be good at it. And as a Christian, if you're not spending the time, your heart begins to get hardened. You start to get insensitive, lose that sensitivity to God. You start to get insensitive or desensitized to the things of the world, and you get hardened. God says there's a way to break up that fallow ground. And it's interesting because He kind of mixes the picture of the farming here. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. What would you expect if you sowed in righteousness? What would you expect to reap? Righteousness. Right? If you plant apple trees, what do you get? Apples. Or nothing, if you did it wrong. Okay? If you plant tomato seeds, what do you expect to get? Tomatoes. Okay, are we tracking with this? Okay, it's springtime. You should be getting your gardens ready to do. Okay, so just helping you to understand, you need to choose what you're going to plant, and you're going to expect that what you plant, you're going to get. That's not exactly what He's saying here. This people had wandered away from God. Their heart was already hardened. He says, do you want to know the way that you're going to break up that ground? Begin to seek, to plant righteousness. Begin to choose to do what's right, even though it doesn't technically make sense. Begin to believe God, even though it doesn't make sense, even though it doesn't seem to be working at this exact moment. And when you sow in righteousness, you will reap in what? Mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is simply this: God not giving me what I deserve. It's not God not giving me the judgment that I deserve. So I have a choice to make. I can keep sowing to plowed wickedness and reaping iniquity. I can continue, as verse 13 says, eating the fruit of lies. I can continue trusting in my own ways, trusting in the multitude of my mighty men, the things that I have life figured out, my strengths, my ideas, my motivations, my plans, my lies. I can continue to trust in those things, and I will continue to reap iniquity when I sow wickedness. But the way that God wants to make our hearts soft to Him is when we choose to start believing Him instead of believing the lies. When we choose to start obeying Him instead of obeying ourselves. When we choose to start having our motives be that which would please and honor God instead of that which would please and honor ourselves. He said, sow in righteousness, that which would please God, and you will reap in mercy. So how many people, when the flood came in Noah's day, had mercy? How many of them? 8. How many of them cried out for mercy? A lot of them. But who received the mercy? the people who had chosen to step out in obedience to God. The people who chose to get in the boat. Same picture here. You receive mercy when you step out in obedience. You're struggling to say, why is God not being merciful to me? Why do I feel like God is judging me all the time? Maybe it's because you're not obeying. Because when you don't obey, you don't get mercy. God, by the way, is way more merciful than we give him credit for, right? Yeah. So he says, sow in righteousness. Christian, it's time for you to start believing what God says is true. It's time for you to start obeying what God says in his word. It's time to start doing that. You might say, well, I feel so far away from God. I feel like it's not working. I feel like my life is not doing what it's supposed to be. Choose to say, you know what? God's word says this. I'm going to take a step of obedience. And you'll start to realize that the mercy of God is not giving you all the consequences, not making them as bad as they should be for all the time that you spent sowing in wickedness. Are there still consequences? Sure. But mercy means that those consequences aren't as bad as they could be or they should be. When we start to plant in righteousness, when we start to step out in obedience to God, he starts to break up the fallow ground. Is breaking up the fallow ground, is that easy? Can we put it this way? When a farmer breaks up fallow ground, what is he doing? He's doing surgery. Right? Did you know that after something is planted, the ground can still get fallow? What do you have to do after you plant? You have to continue to irrigate. You have to continue to go out there and break up that ground just a little bit so that the water can get into it. You have to continue to pull the weeds. What are you doing? You're doing surgery on it. Okay, not just at the beginning, but even after the seed is planted, you got to keep the weeds out. You got to keep that bed clear so that all the nutrients can go to where they're supposed to go. That's what God is telling us here. As you start to step out in obedience and you're planting, it takes a daily choice to get rid of the weeds, to get rid of the sin, to get rid of those things that would take away from the tree or the plant growing the way it's supposed to grow. Okay, what do we call those? How many of you have crepe myrtles? You have a crepe myrtle, okay? What do crepe myrtles send out? They send out shoots, and we call them what? They call them suckers, okay? Are they all gone from right out here, Rose? Okay. We cut down a crepe myrtle tree right next to where the ramp is right now. 2 years ago, right? Alan helped me pull it over to the burn pile. We cut it down. Did you know that even though there's no crepe myrtle tree there, that there's still crepe myrtle trees there? Why? Because we haven't broken up the fallow ground yet to get rid of them. Okay, it takes a lot of work. It takes digging them out. If you want to get rid of something in your life, it's going to take work. And by God's grace, it's possible, by the way. But it oftentimes is a battle. But God is the one who gives grace, and he wants to do the surgery in your life. He wants to begin to free you from those things that keep popping up in your life, that keep becoming those besetting sins. And it's breaking up that fallow ground. You're starting to sow in righteousness. It's time to continue to allow God and to be active in getting rid of those things. How about the things that don't seem like they're terrible bad, but they're taking away from the core thing that God is wanting to do in your life? What needs to happen? Is it possible that something that is not typically bad, God may want you to give up so that he can have your full attention, so that he can work in your life? It's possible. What is it that is taking away your attention from the very thing that God wants to do? I don't know what it is, but maybe God is speaking to you right now, and he's wanting to break up your fallow ground. He's wanting you to allow those things, to let go of those things so that he can have full work. And then the last part of the verse here says this: it is time to seek the Lord. And then I love this next word, till. Until he come and rain righteousness upon you. So you're saying, Lord, I've done what you've told me to do. I'm seeking to plant righteousness every day. I'm seeking to follow your will. Did you know it's still God that gives the increase? But how often do we stop praying before the rain comes? How often do we stop praying before the rain comes? If God is waiting for us to seek him, and to seek is not just to look around for, it's not just to throw out a few prayers. A seek is I set my affection on something and I'm going to go after it until I get it. That's the idea of the seek here. He says, I'm going to seek until God comes and rains righteousness upon me. This is when it's downpouring God's righteousness, then I know that he answered my prayer. The hymn writer puts it for this, showers of blessing we need, raindrops around us are falling, but it's for the showers that we plead. The Bible gives us a really good illustration of this. So turn, if you would, to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Do you believe that God wants to give you, wants to rain his righteousness upon you, literally pouring out his goodness on your life, pouring out his desire for you to be able to walk with him? Do you believe that God wants to do that? I think most of us would say, yes, I believe that. But do we stop short? 1 Kings chapter 18 tells us the story of Elijah on the Mount Carmel. Okay, do we know this story? You know the story a little bit? Okay, God's people have been away from God. They've been worshiping Baal, a false god. And as far as Elijah knows, he's the only one left that's worshiping God. God knows that there's other people, several thousand that have not bowed down to Baal. But the nation as a whole has wandered away from God, and God leads Elijah here to go and challenge the prophets of Baal. And he gives this challenge to them. And he says, you're going to build an altar, I'll build an altar. You're going to take a bull, and I'll take a bull. You're going to kill the bull, I'll kill the bull. You put the bull on your altar, I'll put the bull on my altar. What you're not going to do is you're not going to put fire under your bull to offer it as a sacrifice. And I won't put fire on mine. Both of us will call out to our God, you with your false god, me to the God of Israel. Whoever sends fire, that's the true God. So he lets the prophets of Baal do their thing. They kill the bull, put it on their altar. They start to cry out, oh Baal, hear us. Oh Baal, hear us. Well, you'd expect that eventually the false god would hear them. You know, it starts getting around noon. They start getting nervous because nothing's happening. It starts getting toward the afternoon. They actually pull out knives in an effort to get Baal's attention. They start cutting themselves and jumping up on the altar and trying to get Baal's attention. Elijah starts to mock them. Oh, maybe you should cry louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's out on a walk. Maybe you just need to get his attention. And he's mocking them. And finally, the Bible tells us when it was the time of the evening sacrifice, shortly before dark, Elijah says, you guys quit. Obviously, it's not going to work. Let me pray. He takes the bowl, he lays it on the altar, and then he douses it with water. What does water do for fire? It doesn't work. Okay, we all know that. And he doesn't just douse it with, he soaks it, he saturates it to the point where this barren, famine, droughted land has now had enough water right around the altar and it fills up the trench that he's dug. He prays one prayer. God sends fire. and devours everything, the water, the stones, the wood, the bowl, everything. And God's people begin to say, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He's the one true God. We believe. And Elijah goes down and he takes the prophets of Baal and he kills them all. Elijah has been doing a great work for God. It's a wonderful work for God. And he is exhaustedly tired. Verse 40 of 1 Kings 18 tell us, Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, by the way, it hasn't rained for 3.5 years. Okay, hasn't rained. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is sound of abundance of rain. Wait a second. It hasn't rained. So this man who walked on the scene a couple chapters ago and says, by the way, it's not going to rain till I say so. Now he's saying so. Talk about a little bit of responsibility here. Elijah said, it's not going to rain. And it doesn't rain. So now Elijah has to say it's going to rain. And now what's going to happen? It says this. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. Wait a second. Was what I just did, Elijah, you know, is this possible that Elijah thought this? Is what I just did, was that not the right thing? I mean, I was sowing in righteousness. I just got rid of 400 prophets of Baal, just killed them all, just saw a fire fall from heaven. That's pretty impressive. But did I do the right thing? So he goes and tells his servant, go look toward the sea. Goes up. I don't see anything. Not a cloud in the sky. What did Elijah have a choice to do at that moment? He could have gotten discouraged. He could have doubted God. He could have given up. He could have said, well, Ahab is going to be right and I'm going to be wrong. Man, I was right when it came to the prophets of Baal, but evidently I missed it when it came to God. Do we ever see Elijah do that? Yeah. I mean, right after this, what happens? He runs away from Jezebel because Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. And he gets to a point where he's so discouraged, he says, I'm not better than my father's God, you kill me. It didn't even make sense, but here Elijah has to make a decision. Am I going to follow through until God answers what he promised what he would do? Am I going to do this? Am I going to obey God, and am I going to trust him? And he prays, and he says, go check the first time. I don't see anything, okay? Puts his head between his knees again, starts praying again. Okay, now go check. Nope, don't see anything. Prays again. Now go check. What do you think the servant is thinking by now? Yeah, maybe that fire did something to him. Maybe it kind of zapped something in his brain too. I don't know. But by the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time, what is the I've got to be thinking that the servant's like, I don't know, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Finally, the seventh time, he says, I see a cloud as if it were a man's hand, man's fist. How big is a man's fist? All he could see is this little tiny, tiny cloud out in the middle. And he says, you better get down, tell Ahab, get in his chariot and ride for all he's worth, because pretty soon the roads are going to be so muddy he's not going to be able to get his chariot through. That's literally the idea. And Elijah, who has just gotten done all day putting up with the prophets of Baal, all day killing the prophets of Baal, and then spending his time seeking God, now it says he girds himself up and runs. and he outruns Ahab with his chariot. He gets a confidence in what God says, and he doesn't ever, ever give up. Now, here's the question. Do we ever tend to try to shortchange what God wants to do? I heard something that just blew my mind this last week or a couple weeks ago when I was at the conference. A preacher made it as a passing comment. He says, remember Abraham when he's taking Isaac, his son, to go offer him on the mountain of Moriah? Remember that? He's old. He's an old man. He's over 100 years old at this point. He has to travel for 3 days. What if he gets tired and just picks a different mountain? If he had picked a different mountain, you know what would have happened? The ram wouldn't have been there. Folks, do you realize that the journey that God has each and every one of us on is a journey of seeking him, and it's a very specific journey with very specific steps? How often do we shortchange what God wants to do because he wants us to take 7 steps and we only take 4? How many times do we say, you know what, this is getting uncomfortable. Maybe I'll just do it this way. And we know that God began leading us, but we fail to recognize and follow through all the way till we seek God till he comes and reigns righteousness. And we wonder why God isn't blessing us when we started out right. We say, you know what? I know that I started right, but somewhere along the way, we failed to follow through and go all the way with what God had for us. Maybe God was leading you to get something right in your life. So you came forward to the altar, or you sat there in your seat and you prayed and you begged God and you said, God, would you please forgive me? Would you help me to get this right? And you took the step that God wanted you to take to start to get it right. But then God came along and he said, I want you now to go talk to someone about it. And he named someone specific. And you say, Lord, if I go and talk to that person, I'm going to hurt them, or they're not going to trust me, or they're going to think I'm a terrible, horrible Christian. And so you have this battle with God, and eventually you say, you know what? You convince yourself that just getting right with God and confessing it to God, that's enough. And you didn't go all the way. And then you wonder why deliverance didn't happen. Maybe it's a decision that God wants you to make. And you say, well, I started to make the first decision. I took that first step that God wanted me to take. Now, God, bless my life. You know, mercy is coming. You're sowing in righteousness. Don't be weary in well-doing. Be willing to say, God, is this as far as you want me to go? Is this the mountain that I'm supposed to sacrifice my son on? God, would you lead me exactly to where you want me to be, when you want me to be there, and how you want to get me there? You realize that that journey sometimes is hard. Sometimes it's long. Sometimes it's difficult. But that's where the deliverance comes. When I learn to trust God every step of the way. Not just saying, well, I took the first step, now I expect God to just finish it out. No, when you take the first step, God enables you to take the rest. He doesn't take the rest of the steps for you. He enables you, he gives you the grace to take step by step by step by step. Hosea, you know, the story of Hosea himself is a very unique story in biblical narrative, is it not? What does God tell Hosea to do to start with? Go down and take unto you to wife a daughter of whoredoms. Someone who is known for their immorality. Someone who had given themselves to that. That was their way of life. God says, you go find somebody that has been completely tainted by the world, completely defiled. You marry her. So he does. And everything works out hunky-dory, doesn't it? If you were to read the rest of the story, you know what happens? She goes back to it. She leaves him. So what does God tell her? Tell him, you know what? You did everything I told you to do. So you know what? It's okay. Just let it go. Is that what he tells her? Tells Hosea? No. He says, go find her. Go buy her back. Do you think that was an easy step for Hosea to take? No. But God was saying, look, I want you to seek until you find. It's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon us. Not with hopes that he will, maybe. I have confidence that when I seek God, I'll find him. I have absolute confidence. But do I ever stop seeking short of actually finding him? And then I blame it on God that, God, you weren't there when I needed you. And God said, I've been right here, but you didn't get to me. You stopped short of actually coming all the way to me. I'm drawing near to you. I want to draw near to you, but you stopped before you got to me. I'm right here waiting for you. I'm right here wanting to do something in your life. I'm right here wanting to deliver you or wanting to give you wisdom or wanting to give you blessing. I'm ready to do it, but you stop short of getting to me. I'm not trying to encourage a works-based sanctification here, because the reality is the moment you take the first step, God enables you to take the rest. But how often do we get weary in well-doing? How often do we try to take shortcuts to accomplish God's will? How often do we stop depending on God and start depending on ourselves? How often do we get distracted by the world or distracted by lies or distracted by ourselves and we stop short of going all the way with God? Folks, God is ready to go all the way with you, but he won't force you. How many times have you gotten to the mountain only to realize that you were on the wrong mountain? And the deliverance isn't there because you didn't go all the way. How many times did you stop short of seeing the rain come because you didn't pray the seven times? I wonder what would have happened if Naaman, remember the pagan general that gets leprosy, and he goes and he wants help, and Elisha says, go dip yourself how many times? Seven. I find that interesting that the number's the same. Go dip yourself seven times in the muddy, stinking, awful, terrible Jordan River. He says, I'm not going to do that. And his servants say, why wouldn't you? If he asked you to do some great military deed, you'd do it. What if Naaman had stopped at six? What if he had said, this is stupid, it's not going to work? What if he hadn't gone all the way? You know what would have happened to Naaman? He would have died of leprosy. What would have happened if Elijah had stopped praying at five prayers or six prayers and said, you know what, I must have been wrong? Instead of depending on what God said to be true and praying until he got it, what would happen to you if you prayed all the way through, you trusted all the way through, you walked all the way through, and you were willing to give up everything else, all the distractions, you were willing to combat all the lies with truth, you were willing to go all the way with God and say, God, I don't understand everything that you're trying to do, but if you tell me to do something, I'll do it. No matter what it takes, I'll go all the way with you. Do you know your life would look different? You might even come to this point where you start saying, you know what, God's leading me to do something in it. Maybe for most people it doesn't make sense. I remember hearing a preacher, who's a friend of mine, a little bit older than I was, he was kind of a mentor to me. And I remember he's 6'5". The guy could stand under a basket, crazy long arms, and just jump up and slam it. He didn't have to jump. I mean, he didn't have to, you know, like take a running leap to get to the basket. He could just stand two hand, one hand, backwards. He could do anything. One of the best basketball players I'd ever met. I remember him standing after he had made the decision and saying, you know what, I can't explain this, but I wasn't going all the way with God because basketball was in the way. And God had led him to give up basketball. Is basketball wrong? No. But he realized he couldn't go all the way. What about your favorite TV show? Well, there's no swear words in it. There's no immorality in it. What if God said, I want you to take that time and seek me? Would you be willing to go all the way with God? What about that coworker or that loved one that you've been trying to give the gospel to? And God says, I know it doesn't make sense, but I want you to give them the gospel one more time. One more time. Are you willing to go all the way with God? What if you say, you know what, I've tried every possible thing about getting rid of this sin in my life and it just has never, ever worked? What if God says, I just want you to trust me one more time? That's what I want you to do. Trust me one more time. Stop depending on your feelings. Stop depending on your past experience and trust me. And I'll deliver you. Folks, the Bible is very simply put here. It's time to seek the Lord until he comes. Don't get weary. Church, we can't afford to stop seeking the Lord. We can't afford to get content with just this is what we do and we're okay with it. If we're not seeing the full blessing that God wants to give, we need to continue to seek the Lord. And I guarantee you this, the more that God blesses, the more that we see our need to seek him. God wants to bless. We can't afford to stop short of what God wants to do. So Christian, this morning, in some area of your life, do you feel dried out? Do you feel fallow, with that fallow ground, that hardened? I'm just not as sensitive as I used to be. I feel like I'm not getting that spiritual food that I need to get. It's time to stop depending on those things. Stop looking at those things. Allow the Word of God to break through that hardened heart, to break through that fallow ground, to start to stir it up so that God can do his work. And then it's time to say, you know what? I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God until I find him. And if that means I seek God for the rest of my life, that's what I'm willing to do. Are you willing to make that commitment to God? I guarantee you the moment you start seeking God is the moment that you will start to find him. But don't give up until you've gone all the way with God. That's where true blessing is. It's time to seek the Lord. This evening, we're going to look at the truth of what happens. What are the blessings of seeking the Lord? We're going to look at that from the New Testament tonight. But let's trust the Lord. What is it God's wanting you to say? You know what, God, I've stopped short of going all the way with you. I haven't come to absolute full surrender in this area of my life. And this morning, I'm willing to do that. I'll trust you with it. What is that God is leading you to this morning? Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us to take the steps that you call us to take, one step at a time, but willing to go all the way with you, not to stop taking those steps, but to say, Lord, I will go as far as you want me to go. As much as you want me to do, I'll do it. Lord, I ask that you would give us grace to do that this morning. Would you open our eyes to those areas that you want us to go further in? Maybe that we've stopped, that we've missed. But Lord, we're thankful for your mercy, allowing us to come back and continue taking those steps. We thank you for what you'll do as we trust you now in Jesus' name. The heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Let's stand to our feet as God is working in your heart. If God is speaking to you in some area, some specific area where you're saying, look, Lord, I've stopped short of trusting you, of going all the way with you. Whatever area that is, would you respond to him? The pianist is going to play a hymn of invitation. If God is speaking to you, let me encourage you. Go all the way with God. If you need help with that, if you have questions, what would that look like in my life? We'd love to be able to help you. It's not going to be some psychological evaluation. We're going to lay out biblical truth for you to help you to know this is what God wants me to do. I'd encourage you to take the step of going forward. Maybe you need to come to the altar this morning. Maybe that step is going and talking to somebody who you need to get right with. I don't know what that step might be. God does, and he's speaking to you. As God is speaking to you, you take the steps that he wants you to take, and go all the way with Him this morning. Lord, we thank You for how You are working in our hearts. We pray that You would continue to lead us, to guide us. We know that You desire to rain righteousness upon us. Lord, as we consider that truth this afternoon and this evening, I pray that You would continue to speak to us. Help us to be willing to take whatever step You tell us to take, no matter how small or how big that step may seem, or no matter how life-changing or how mundane we may think it is. Would You give us grace? Help us to see it. Help us to be willing to take that step. Lord, I pray that You would fill our church with Christians who are willing to go all the way with You. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.